During our look at Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 9, let me pick up again at what Luke tells us in verse 8. He says, "We reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, and he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied." Now, we've been looking at, did Philip's daughters foretell and foretell? So were they prophetesses? And what was the environment in which they were allowed to do this ministry? And we have been also answering the question, did the early church forbid women to speak in their assemblies? So we've been piggybacking Luke's comments there in Acts 21 with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2, which seem to imply that women were not allowed to speak in the churches at all, that they were to be totally silent. And we have been asking the question, how does that work out then with what we know about Old Testament and New Testament women who were indeed prophetesses and judges and rulers, as well as in the New Testament, deaconesses? Well, we could spend a week discussing the various verses that refer to this issue in the first century church. It's not easy to balance a couple of verses against the broader spectrum of Paul's teachings. But let me suggest that what I see as the heart of the issue here, the issue is biblical authority. Looking at 1 Timothy 2:12, two of the more literal translations make it clear that Paul is pointing to biblical authority, especially in the context of a Christian marriage. Paul uses the Greek word authentein, which he says, "I do not permit a woman to exercise authority over a man." The word exercise here in the Greek is that word authentein. This is important because how that word is translated can change the meaning of Paul's statement. The older King James Version says, "I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man." Young's literal translation includes, "A woman I do not suffer to teach nor to rule a husband." So what was Paul really addressing in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy 2? Well, without attempting to cover all the possible issues, let me note that both of these translations are pointing to a reversal of roles within a biblically ordered marriage. Paul is not addressing all women here, but wives. As the King James and Young translation make it clear, Paul is correcting the issue of the wife usurping a husband's authority or ruling a husband. What does Ephesians 5 teach us about biblical ordering within Christian marriages? It says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." There's a clear order of authority in that passage. The husband is to be the spiritual head of the house, just as Christ is the head of his house, the church. Now, all of this is not supposed to go to the husband's ego. Ephesians 5 points to a mutual submission by all members of Christ's body, and specific submission where it is noted. So if we consider the circumstances at Corinth, it seems clear that there were some real issues that needed to be addressed. We'll see more of that next time on Verse by Verse.